Right about here, ladies and gentlemen. I want you to get yourself and your soul together.
Somebody's gonna get him, and somebody's gonna get him foot.
Hey, boy! Hey, boy!
It's a very, very personal meeting.
Oh! And what the hell kind of description is that?
You'll be shot for this!
This man will make your bladder splatter!
You ain't nothing! Okay?
Does go well with it.
Damn shame how they screwed up your show. Nice little program. Not that I ever watched it.
Yeah.
Woo! Hello, everybody. My name is Jim Shear, and today, Yin's Love Breaking Bad, Season 5, Episode 7, titled, well, I don't think I should say it. I think Destiny's Child should say it. Say my name. Yes. Walt White acting very shady. And joining me today, friend, former coworker, fellow Breaking Bad fanatic, Marissa Ruiz.
Hi, Jim.
And you also met Bryan Cranston.
I did. Oh my gosh. One of the best days of my life.
Yeah, just quickly talk about that. Now, we had your fiance on this very podcast for episode one of this season, and he said he was very excited to meet Bryan Cranston. He said Bryan Cranston was a very nice guy. And just to set up the picture for all of you, you and Mark got to shoot some promos with Bryan Cranston leading up to the season finale of season four.
Yes. It was, you know, we've been working together in, you know, the music television industry for a while now. We meet lots of celebrities, lots of musicians. I don't normally get starstruck, and I have to tell you that I was a little nervous going into this shoot, mostly because I was afraid that I was going to call him Mr. White instead of Bryan Cranston. That was my biggest fear, producing this shoot, but I was able to keep it together and not geek out or creep him out. But he was the nicest guy. He was the nicest guy, and it's so weird to see him as creepy, you know, like evil Walt.
Oh, he's breaking our hearts.
I know. I miss the old Mr. White. I really do.
But I like the story that after you did your promos, you sat down with Bryan and you said, oh, well, we think this might happen. And he was sincerely interested in your take on what would happen in the season finale.
He did. He was. He entertained our ideas and was very, you know, interested in our theories and what we had to say about what we thought was going to happen. And I have to boast a little bit. I kind of guessed a little. I was very close to, you know, what was actually going to happen. And he was just like, oh, very interesting, you know. And then we watched the finale, and I was like, bah! You know, like, I called it, and Bryan Cranston was there. It was so funny.
Wow. So when I think your prediction was that he was the one that poisoned Brock.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Yes, totally.
So when you said that... When you said that to Bryan, what did his face look like?
He pretended like he was surprised. Like that was the first time that he had ever, thought about that.
Because he's a great actor.
Yeah. Yeah, he was like, oh, I haven't heard that one yet. You know, like, that's very interesting. And I was like, oh, okay, you know, whatever.
So, obviously, you watched last night's episode.
Yes.
Now, do you watch on Sunday night, 10 o'clock?
I do. Well, Mark and I cheat a little bit. We watch at 10:20 and fast forward through the commercials, if that makes sense.
No,
at all.
No, but that's it's brilliant. It's a good thing to do.
Yeah.
All right, so here's what we're going to do. Marissa, we're going to do things a little bit differently this week.
Okay.
Usually I give a recap and then we break down the episode. But since so many things happened last night, we're going to kind of break things down as we give the recap.
Sounds good.
And then at the end, if we're missing anything, then we'll pick apart the things that we did not talk about during the recap. So a lot of things going on in this episode. It was called Say My Name, as of course made famous by Destiny's Child, but it could have been called A Farewell to Mike. Mike Swan Song.
Oh,
and I gotta say that if you are not caught up on Breaking Bad, please do not listen to this episode.
Yeah.
Maybe Mike left. Or maybe something else happened to Mike. Yeah, but right now turn it off if you didn't watch. All right, so it starts off with the drive to the desert. And I forgot, what's his name? Oh, Declan. Declan is the distributor with the beard and the long hair. He was the former contact of Gus or whatnot. So they drive to the desert, and we're all wondering what's the deal going to be. Because at the end of last episode, Mike has a gun to Walt's head, and then Jesse's like, no, everyone can get their money, and then Mr. White can cook. So for a week, we're like, what's going to happen?
Yeah, I seriously thought that Mike might pull the trigger. I thought maybe that was it.
Really? Last week?
I wasn't sure. I wasn't sure. You know how it is. It's been so intense, and like everyone gets all trigger happy these days. You know, like I thought Walt was a goner for a second there.
That, well, let me don't forget about the first scene of this season when he celebrates his 52nd birthday.
Oh yeah.
Yes.
Well, yeah. I guess that's true. That's true.
Okay. So that's why That's why I know that Walt's not a goner until maybe after his 52nd birthday.
That's true. Good point. That was a stupid mistake on my part.
You got caught up. You got caught up in the action. So they have the showdown in the desert. So Walt's plan is that, I'm not going to give you the methylamine because the methylamine is more valuable in my hands. Because when I'm cooking this, you're going to make more money. Some classic lines delivered in this showdown. It's grade school T-ball versus the New York Yankees. And then he goes on to say, yours is some tepid off-brand generic cola. What I'm making is classic Coke.
Yes. The real thing, Coca-Cola.
I know. I wonder.
American.
I wonder what Coca-Cola thought of this being used as an analogy for meth.
Yeah.
So
I don't know.
Who knows? Or the New York Yankees being compared to the greatest meth cook of all time. Then Declan said,
"Yeah."
And I think it
was the one and only Heisenberg.
It was kind of a humorous scene when he was breaking down the Coca-Cola New York Yankees reference. And then Declan says, well, I could kill you right now and I would be the only cola maker in town. And then Walt humorously says, do you want to live in a world without Coca-Cola?
No, nobody wants that.
No. So then he says, you've got the world's greatest, actually the two greatest meth cooks in the world. And somehow he convinces Declan to distribute his blue.
Right. Now, I might add, I thought that was very sneaky. I don't know if sneaky is the right word. On Walt's part, to kind of pull Jesse in there at the very last minute. Because he knew Jesse was trying to get out.
I know. Well, because the thing is, at the beginning of that scene, Declan says he has $15 million. So we know that there's $15 million there. And I guess... Right. I know that Walt wants Mike out of the picture, so he's like, we'll give you your $5 million, and Jesse's waiting for his $5 million. That never comes. There was a scene in there that Tori and I, we had a little debate about. Walt says to Declan, I killed Gus Fring. And then Declan says, no, the cartel killed Fring. And then there's a shot of Mike, and he shakes his head no. So what do you think? I don't know if you remember that scene, but what do you think that head shake meant on Mike's end? Because I have my own theories about that.
I was a little confused by that head shake as well. I wasn't sure if that meant, like he was telling, Declan, no, like lying, like no, Walt didn't kill Gus Fring, or he was shaking his head as in, no, the cartel didn't kill him. I don't know.
Because originally, Tori thought when Mike shook his head at first, he was like, Walt's crazy. He's just a madman. And he was just kind of like, it was shaking his head in frustration. When we were watching it, I actually rewinded the scene twice. And this is, I'm pretty sure this is what went down. Declan said the cartel killed Gus Fring. And he looks over at Mike, and Mike shakes his head. He's like, no, 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 no. The cartel didn't do it. Walt did it. And then they go to a shot of one of Declan's henchmen, and he almost has a look of fear, like, ooh, ooh, crap.
Yeah.
Like, this dude did, wow, okay, okay. So I think Mike was playing along.
Right. I think you're right. I think you're right.
So then at the end of the scene, and this is where communication is a major key. Mike and Walt just don't understand each other because Mike says to Walt, I got to hand it to you, Walter. And from Mike, that's a big thank you. That's a big sloppy kiss on the cheek. That's a big bear hug. And I don't think Walt took it as a compliment.
That's interesting because I don't take that as a thank you. I take that as, you know, like Mike being, you know, like kind of throwing his hands up in the air. Like, I can't believe you did that, you know.
You don't think that was gratitude on Mike's end?
I didn't take it that way.
Okay.
When you said, I gotta hand it to you, Walt, or Walter, whatever you said.
Yeah, because through this whole season, Mike can't stand Walt. Walt can't stand Mike. So for Mike to say that to Walt, I was like, okay. Like, he can't pull himself to say thank you, but he did say, I gotta hand it to you, Walter.
Yeah. But, I mean, not to jump too far ahead, you know, just seeing how things panned out and how Walt was waiting for a thank you from Mike, and that never happened. But well, I don't want to get too far ahead.
And I need to discuss that.
Okay.
We need to discuss that.
Yes.
All right, so Mike will now handle the legacy pay.
Mm-hmm.
So that's almost kind of like, you know what, guys? We had a little fight about this. I am going to handle the legacy pay.
Right. Taking responsibility.
Walt still wants to thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Jesse gets a handshake. I don't think Walt gets a handshake from Mike.
He didn't, and I think that killed him.
Yeah. All right, so next scene, we go to the bank, Mike's lawyer, and last week's podcast, we said, why is Saul representing Mike? Because that gives him away to the DEA, but we find out that Saul is actually a better lawyer than this guy, who...
Bexler?
I don't know what his name is, but he reminded me of you because he brought the bank lady... Bacon cookies.
Yes. Bacon banana. Was it banana? Bacon banana cookies. Yes. I was dying. I wish I could try. Could have tried those. I was hoping we would get to talk about those bacon cookies.
Because she's like,
he talks about the little bits.
Right. She's like, there's bacon in here, and he's like, well, just a little bit, just enough to give it the little pow.
So, amazing. I would like to meet that writer who wrote that in and ask him for the recipe.
So there's a beautiful montage of Mike's lawyer putting the legacy cost in all of the bank sleeves. And then there's a new one, Kaylee, getting a big payday on her 18th birthday.
Yes.
So
a lot of money.
A lot of money. Now, I mean, I don't know how much, we obviously don't know how much money's in there, because then the lawyer keeps some because he will have to keep going back to the bank to take care of the legacy costs.
Yes.
Mike then disposes of his laptop, guns.
Mm-hmm.
He takes his car to the airport. He puts his go bag in the trunk. And then as he's watching TV, the DEA comes over. Did you catch what Mike was watching on TV?
Oh, my gosh. I remember making a mental note of it as I was watching it and laughing myself, like, ha, that's, oh, it was a ShamWow guy, yeah?
It was, no. Oh, no. That was
later.
Yeah, that was later, yes, but the ShamWow guy did make a cameo appearance. He's watching an old black and white movie, and in it, they said that a cop kills himself, and they're like, they just found him. He was dead. So after you see the whole episode, will people think, is Mike still in the woods, and will people think that Mike killed himself because the DEA found him out? I don't know.
Right.
Maybe some Vince Gilligan foreshadowing.
I think that's, I don't feel like anything is a mistake with that show. So
no, yeah.
I would say that that's definitely a little bit of foreshadowing there.
Very,
it was.
Yeah, intentional on Vince Gilligan's part. And then we have the scene, Jesse versus Walt. And in it, it reminds me of The Devil's Advocate, because in this scene, Walt is basically the devil. So what's going on in your mind during that whole scene?
I was so upset because I was remembering how Jesse was the one that kind of got Walt into it. And then I was thinking about the beginning, Walt and Jesse from like season one and them starting out together and everything that they went through. And then Walt kind of coming, you know, totally basically breaking bad at this point and going to the other side. And Jesse's just desperately trying to get out. And Walt's just like, ugh. So manipulative.
Because at first he's like, you know, he approaches it with kid gloves, and then he's like, all right, Jesse's not buying this. And then he goes for the guilt trip. He's like, what are you going to do? You're going to play video games. You're going to drive go-karts. You're probably going to start using again.
That was low. That was dirty. That was like below the belt, ugly.
And then I think the dirtiest of the dirty is when he like all of the people that we killed, Gail, of course, looking straight at Jesse, and then not talking about the people he killed. He's like Gail and all the rest.
Yep. Yeah.
And then at the end, he's like, of course, he's like, oh, you want your money? Well, this is blood money. This is filthy. You really want this money, Jesse? And then Jesse, of course, leaves.
It broke my heart because I've always loved Jesse. I've loved Jesse from the beginning. And I love, you know, how he's looked up to Walt as like a father figure and as a friend, you know? And you can see the pain in his eyes when Walt is tearing into him. And at one point, his face just kind of crumples and he just goes, Mr. White, you know? Like, I can't believe you're saying these things to me. And it just like, ugh, it just rips your heart apart, you know?
Yep.
I was really disappointed. That made me really sad. I was just like, they're done. Walt and Jesse, you know, like, Batman and Robin, they're over.
they should have had a music montage there with a Whitney Houston song. Didn't we almost have it all? And there's also some dialogue in that scene where Walt says, "We're going to hell if you believe in that thing or not." Of course, Walt's a scientist, so he doesn't, you know, believe probably that there's a god or devil.
Sure,
in this scene, he is Satan personified.
He is.
Putting his arm around Jesse and be like, look at all this temptation. Turn this bread into stone. Like, he is Satan in that scene.
He is.
Jesse resists. He leaves. And then Walt says, you're not getting any money.
Yeah.
All right. So then.
Okay,
you go first.
No. Well, just the fact that Jesse leaves and he's just like, you know, F it. You can have the money. I'm done. You know, I was really kind of surprised and proud of Jesse at that point.
Yeah.
And then you can see Walt grasping at straws at the end as Jesse leaves.
So,
you know?
And we're like, wow, now what's Walt going to do now? So the question we had while we were watching it, could Walt have cooked by himself? Or is it a two-person job? Because when they do have the montages and you have the guys with the hoses and they're sticking on the vapors, it does seem like it'd be easier with a two-person job. But if you do remember, I believe Gale was a one-man team. Was he not?
Yes. I think he could do it by himself, but he just couldn't do the volume that he was promising Declan and the volume of meth that he wanted to produce in order to make as much money as he now all of a sudden needed and wanted, you know? But I think he could have done it by himself, just not as much as he would have liked.
So then he, of course, teams up with Todd.
Oh, gosh, that idiot.
But this, it was funny because he's like, oh, did you ever take chemistry in high school? And this was basically Todd getting tutored in chemistry, but instead of dissecting a pig, he is making the Beth Meth on the market.
Yeah, the blue stuff.
The blue stuff. And, you know, he's all bummed out. He's like, it's going to take a few more tries. And Walt's like, yeah, it's going to take a few more, but you have to apply. I'm glad that you applied yourself. So, Hank.
He's still a teacher. He's still a chemistry teacher to the very end.
He still has the love. So
he
then
does,
Hank follows Mike's lawyer. This time the lawyer arrives at the bank with cake. Cake lollipops.
Cake pops.
The lady doesn't look too happy, and as he puts in the legacy pay, he is caught red-handed.
Oh, gosh. Gomi.
With the save. Gomi. And then we find out that the lawyer is indeed going to flip.
Now, yeah.
We find that out when Walt's at the office doing his best Academy Award-winning crying performance for a second time. Asking for a cup of coffee, removing the bug, removing the USB device. He calls Mike this time. A nice little role reversal, because it's usually Mike calling Walt.
That was interesting. I appreciated that. I mean, obviously he had to call Mike for his own safety, you know? But knowing how much he despised Mike and their relationship at this point, I was still, that part of me was a little bit surprised to see that.
Yeah,
but,
so,
I mean, again, he had to do it. He had to do it for his own safety.
Right, that's true. So, Kaylee is on the swing at the park.
Oh, God.
Mike sees the police coming. Did you think Mike was going to stay, or Mike was going to hit the road?
I knew he was. I had a feeling he was going to leave. Mike, he would never. We've been able to see how much he loves and cares about his granddaughter. And there's no way he could let her see that, see him be arrested and be, you know, she doesn't know that he's like this crazy, you know, this crazy, I don't even know what you would call him. He's not a drug dealer. What would you call Mike?
The greatest cleaner of all time.
Yeah, I guess you're right. You're right.
But I read the Vulture's review this morning. And it said that when he had the gun to Lydia's head earlier in the season, she's like, well, you can't just make me disappear because then my daughter will think that I just disappeared and she won't know what happened to me. So please leave my dead body here. So maybe that was going through Mike's head. Like, well, if I just disappear, my granddaughter will never know where I went. She'll just think I vanished and left her. And if she sees me arrested, at least she'll have some closure to this whole situation.
Right.
Then she'll have an awesome 18th birthday party. In a few years when that happens. So Mike hightails it out of the park, leaves his granddaughter. The go bag scene.
The go bag scene.
Break down the go bag scene with Saul, Walt, and Jesse.
So the go bag is at the airport. Can I mention, by the way, that I don't know, we both work at MTV Networks. I'm going off on a tangent here for a second. We both work at MTV Networks. Do you remember how they made us have go bags post 9/11?
Yes, I do.
And we all had go bags at our desk, and they had water and radios. And
flashlight.
That was the only time. Flashlight. One coworker of mine, I will not dispel any names. We found a whole shit ton of condoms in their go bag. I mean, you know, end of the world, whatever. But aside from that, I had never heard of anyone else having a go bag. So I was excited to see the go bag come up again in Breaking Bad, but in a very real sense with Mike. Anyways, the go bag, it's at the airport. He needs it. He needs it to get out of there. And he calls Saul to get it for him, right?
He calls Saul. It's like, Saul, I'm paying you the money. So you go get the go bag.
Saul doesn't want anything to do with it. He does not even want to leave his office. He doesn't want to be seen.
For good reason.
At this point.
Yes, for good reason.
For good reason. And Jesse, interestingly enough, is volunteering to go do it, which I found interesting. What did you think about that?
Well, Jesse at this point would do anything for Mike. He saved Mike's life down in Mexico.
It's true.
So I found it interesting that Mike didn't say yes to Jesse. Because here's the deal. On the internet, a lot of people were upset that Walt went to get the go bag. Because they're like, Mike would never trust Walt with the go bag. But here's the deal. Mike just gave, or Walt just gave Mike $5 million to leave town.
That's true.
Walt just called Mike to tip him off about this the DEA.
Mm-hmm.
When Mike wants Saul to get the go bag, he's like, well, I'm paying you. You get the go bag. Saul's like, no way. They're going to, DEA is going to be all over me. Jesse volunteers. Mm-hmm. And when Walt says no, or when Mike says no,
mm-hmm.
To me, it's like, oh, this could be possibly kind of dangerous. So then when Walt says, I'll do it, Mike's like, well, you know what? I could give two craps if you die. So yeah, you get my go bag.
Yeah.
So totally. I think he's like, it could be dangerous. So I don't want Jesse doing it. Walt, if you want to do it, then you'll do it. And at that point, he and Walt weren't on the best terms,
mm-hmm.
but they were still partners. And you would think that at some point in time, Walt could have tried to pull a gun on Mike. He didn't. So at this point, it's all business. And then we go to the woods.
Oh, gosh. The woods.
So
it was so pretty there, by the way. It was nice.
It was nice. It was nice. He was tossing. He was skipping stones in the stream.
It was very peaceful.
And during this whole scene, I'm think it's funny because I'm not like looking into the episode. I'm thinking into the writer's room. And I'm like,
mm-hmm.
please, Vince Gilligan, let Mike mm-hmm. live. Just let him walk off into the sunset. Let him live.
So you thought from the get-go that there was a chance that he might not make it out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because
I didn't want to think that. I didn't let myself go there. Because
I blurted it out in the living room. I'm like, Tori, I think Walt's going to kill him.
Oh, no. You're one of those guys that watch the show?
And then Tori's like, you were right. And I'm like, because the way that Gus Fring's death, the way that Gus Fring's death scene played out, you're like, ooh, okay, it's kind of like leading up to his death, and the way they shot it, I'm like, this is Mike's goodbye.
Mm-hmm.
So now, did you think, and this has also been debated on the internet this morning,
mm-hmm.
why did Walt take the gun out of Mike's go bag?
To protect himself.
So you don't think he had the intention of killing Mike, did you?
I didn't, but he was in a dangerous situation. You know, by taking the go back to Mike. For some reason, I wasn't surprised, especially when they opened the bag. You know, he opens the bag and he sees the gun there. I mean, why would Mike need a gun at that point? You know, and so if Walt's handing Mike a bag with a gun in it, he knows Mike's feelings towards Walt, you know. I don't know. I don't know if that's such a smart move for Walt to do, you know.
And then why didn't Mike have some type of lock on that zipper?
There was a lock on the zipper?
No, why didn't he?
Oh, that's a good question.
Mike's been, like we've been saying, during the last couple of weeks, Mike's been slipping. He's off his game. He got burned.
Right.
But here's my thoughts on the whole thing. When Walt turns over the bag, and he's like, I'm not going to give you the bag until you give me the nine names. And Walt's like, I'm not mm-hmm. giving you the nine names. It's not like you're going to pay him off. When Mike goes off on Walt, he's like, we had a good thing, but your pride and your ego got in your way. You should have known your role. When he went off on Walt, that is what turned him into a madman.
Oh my God.
Because he basically called him a jabroni. He was like The Rock back in the second golden age of WWF. Shut your mouth and know your role. And Walt's like, no, I've shut up for long enough in my life. And it was that. He didn't get a thank you. And because he didn't get a thank you, mm-hmm. it just set him off. And then he killed Mike, shot him in the chest. Yeah.
Mike did. He hit the nail on the head with his rant about Walt. I mean, he was exactly right. And Walt, you know, I was kind of glad that someone finally said it because his own ego was turning him into a monster, you know?
Yeah. But
I don't know.
In fairness to Walt, as weird as mm-hmm. it may sound, when I got out of graduate school, I worked mm-hmm. at a cemetery, and I think I made $5.45 an hour.
Oh, jeez.
I hated that job. And I remember the one day my boss was like, you know what, I'm going to give you like a 15-cent raise. And I was like, okay, yeah, that's fine. I hated the job, but the only thing that would keep me going is when people would say, hey, you did a good job, would give me a compliment, would give me a thank you. And it got to the point where I didn't get enough pats on the backs or thank yous, where I'm like, you know what, I'm out of here. So I could see where Walt was coming from. All he wanted was a pat on the back. Just a little thank you. Just a little tip of the cap.
This is true. And while I was watching that episode, I actually wanted Mike to thank him. I do think that he owed Walter a thank you, and I was waiting for it as well. Would I have killed Mike for not saying thank you? Probably not, but I was right there with him.
And isn't it ironic? And no, this is a coincidence. I met Alanis Morissette today, but isn't it ironic, don't you think, that Mike said, your pride and your ego got in the way, Walt, and guess what? Mike's pride and ego got in the way, too, because he couldn't swallow his pride for 1 second and say thank you to Walt. Walt gave him $5 million. Gus Fring, I think at the beginning of this season, we find out that he has $2 million in his bank account. But then I guess you deduct the legacy cost. But Walt gave him a $5 million payday just in 1 day.
Right.
One thank you. One thank you would have done it.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
All right.
Like
so
Mike said,
Marissa, before you go, I'm going to go through the little notes on the side of my page now.
I'm gonna
go through the notes on the side of my page, the side of my piece of paper. Okay, I think I have a brilliant plan by Walt. He gives $5 million to Mike because he knows if he doesn't give the money to Mike, Mike will kill him, and he knows if he doesn't give the $5 million to Jesse, Jesse won't kill him. So, good plan on Walt's part because he can string Jesse along for a little longer. During the scene where Mike was in Hank's office, there was a shot from the camera. It was from the corner of the room, and for a second, I thought it was a surveillance camera. Did you catch that? But I don't think it was. I think it was just sort of a high angle shot to make you think for 1 second. Is there a surveillance camera in this room? Did they just see everything that Walt did?
Office?
Yeah, but I don't. It wasn't a surveillance camera. I think it was just the way the camera was angled.
Yeah, it couldn't have been. Walt's too smart.
Yes. That's true. I'm sure he looked around the office before that happened. We find out that the DEA took Mike's bankroll again. Did they take Kaylee's money?
That's a good question.
Because the one bank lady knew all of the locks by heart because this lawyer has been coming in week after week or month after month. Maybe the DEA checks the names of the 9 men and they pay no attention to the bottom right drawer with all the money for Kaylee. So we don't know if that money was taken by the DEA or Kaylee will get it on her 18th birthday.
Wasn't there a scene several episodes ago where that was one of the reasons, that was how the DEA was able to connect Mike to Gus Fring was because they saw all of this money going to his young granddaughter. Wasn't there something like that?
Yeah, but those bank accounts were discovered because the picture was broke in the magnet incident where they found all the bank accounts and they're like, you've got $2 million for your granddaughter. That seems kind of like a rather large number.
Totally.
So, yeah, we don't know if Kaylee will get her payday. Will we find out?
Right.
I don't know.
Last
week, we talked about Vince Gilligan and his crew, and at the beginning of the season, they said that this was the toughest episode for them to write ever. He said they wrote themselves into so many corners. There was a time where they're like, how are we going to end this episode? And after I watched it, it made perfectly good sense because I'm like, they probably debated whether to kill Mike or not.
I'm sure.
Now, do you wish Mike was still alive?
I do wish Mike was still alive. I think he helped get them out of several pickles. And I think Walt is just, you know, I don't know. He's not in a good place now, obviously. There is a part of me, and maybe this is a little naive, there's a part of me that thought that Mike may have tried to kill himself, that he didn't want Walt to get away with killing him. Because remember, at the very end, he's sitting on the rock or whatever, and he's holding the gun in his hand, and you can't tell what he's done with it. I don't know. I was talking, Mark and I were talking about this after the episode was over. I was like, well, did Walt successfully, you know, like, fairly shoot Mike, or did Mike get the last shot into himself or whatever as to be, you know, saved from Walt? But I guess it was Walt that killed him, yeah?
I think so.
Okay.
And both of those guns belong to Mike. Both of those guns probably have his fingerprints on some of it. So if Walt wanted to, going back to that scene where Mike is watching the old black and white movie, it could appear as a suicide.
This is true.
And he would have great reason to kill himself after he was exposed by his lawyer, who flipped.
Right.
And then the final point of this episode, for those who look at it and say, Gus Fring was the almighty, Mike was the almighty, how does this rookie Walt knock off two kingpins like that? My answer is very simple. They underestimated Walt.
I think everyone did.
They underestimated him. They're like, he would never do it. He's small time. He's taken out two major players, and Walt will never be underestimated again.
No. But you know what? The way things are going, there's not going to be anyone left to underestimate him. He keeps killing everyone.
And I do not like to use the Lord's name in vain. But right now, I'm just quoting dialogue from last episode of Breaking Bad.
Okay.
Say my name. Say my name. And do Declan's part.
Heisenberg.
You're goddamn right.
You know what? I couldn't help, and maybe this is irreverent of me, I couldn't help but giggle a little bit at the end of that scene.
Oh, no.
I thought it was a little bit ridiculous. I was like, come on, Walt. Come on, you know?
But that's what Walt wants. He wants to be the king. He wants to deliver the money lines.
I know. And then, this is also terrible. All I could think of was, well, first of all, the Destiny's Child song, like you opened with, and the scene from American Pie. Or is it American Pie 2? When she, what's her name? Allison Hannigan's character is having sex with somebody. I forget, whatever. And she's just like, say my name. That's all I keep thinking. As Walt is saying, say my name. I was like, oh my gosh, what is wrong with me? But I don't know. For some reason, I giggled at that. I was like, well, you're too much.
All right. And then season finale, although it's not technically the end of season 5, but season finale for this cycle. Do you have any thoughts as to what will happen on Sunday? Marissa, you were dead on last year.
This is true. I don't know. I've been thrown for so many loops this season. I think Walt's changed so much. So much has happened. Mike's gone. And now Walt's cooking with some other, you know, like, kid. I don't know. I really don't know what could happen. I haven't thought too far ahead, to be completely honest.
Okay.
I don't know. And I guess part of me wants to be surprised as well.
And it's interesting in the TV world that they are airing the season finale on Labor Day weekend. And it's a roll of the dice because sometimes people are out partying on Labor Day. However, a lot of people are getting ready for school. A lot of people have wrapped up their timeshares, and they are sitting right in front of the TV on that Sunday night. So
I don't know. Breaking Bad has made such a name for itself and has so many loyal fans and followers. I honestly don't think they have anything to worry about.
And my only fear, because we're not going to have Breaking Bad for a whole till next year, is that I hope we get some type of closure. I hope it's not a monster cliffhanger. I hope it satisfies our appetite until next year.
What are your your thoughts, because I guess right now, I'm curious, as is everyone else, I'm assuming, what's going to happen to Jesse? Is he going to stick around, and help Walt out?
Here's my thoughts, just from watching the previews.
Mm-hmm. I haven't watched any of the previews, because,
I think with the lawyer flipping, and without money coming in, I think a lot of Mike's nine men will be flipping. That might expose Jesse or Walt, which will force Jesse back in the business just to survive for some type of reason. So I think Jesse somehow gets roped back into it.
But if they are flipping, why wouldn't, Jesse hightail it out of there? Like Walt said, he doesn't have anyone, waiting for him here. He doesn't have anything holding him.
It's a good question. I don't know if Jesse is a relocation expert, though.
Right.
So we shall see.
I like how you can tell that he kind of feels sorry for Skylar. I know we haven't talked about Skylar that situation at all.
Yeah, I just want, maybe before Breaking Bad ends, I just want Skylar to smile once at one of Jesse's wisecracks.
Right.
Just once, all right, you've been trying hard, kid. I'm going to give you a little laugh.
Right. Or, it would be the ultimate, F you, and maybe my mind is just twisted and whatever. If Jesse got it on with Skylar.
No.
Wouldn't that be ridiculous and so messy and gross?
Oh, my gosh. All right. Yeah. Well, who knows?
Who knows? That probably won't happen, but... I don't know. You can edit that part out.
Who knows?
You're right.
And that's how we will end this episode. Marissa, thank you for joining us, because I know you were going to join us from home. You didn't get out of your office, so you're at your office right now. So I want you to get home in a timely manner.
We will
end it right now.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you for joining me, and have fun watching on Sunday.
You too.
So for Marissa Ruiz... My name is Jim Shear, and we will see yins later.
So long, farewell, I'll be the same goodnight.
Oh, ladies and gentlemen, Elvis has just left the building.